Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
For those who don't know, my name is Shauna, and I get to bring the message this morning. So, today is Pentecost Sunday. Now, maybe you already know, maybe you already heard this morning, but Pentecost Sunday is known as the birthday of the church. And so not only do we get to celebrate Shirley Henry's birthday this morning, we get to celebrate the birthday of all of us. So happy birthday, church. Amen. The reason that today is known as the birthday of the church is because it's the day that the Holy Spirit was sent to empower the disciples to fulfill the Great Commission and to preach the gospel as Jesus told them to do. It's the day that the church age began. The word Pentecost simply means 50th. It was 50 days after Jesus' resurrection that the Holy Spirit was poured out on all believers and the church was born. Prior to Pentecost, the Holy Spirit hadn't been given to everyone. He'd be given to specific people at specific times to do specific things for God. And we see that when we read the Old Testament, that there were specific people who were filled with the Holy Spirit to perform a certain task for God, but the Holy Spirit wasn't yet given to everyone. But on this day, on Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit was poured out on all the followers of Jesus. Now, this event was actually prophesied about by the prophet Joel 800 years prior to Pentecost, and it says this in Joel 2:28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days." The day of Pentecost was the beginning of the days that Joel had prophesied about 800 years prior. So today we're going to take a look at the significance of the day of Pentecost in the life of the church and in what it means for each believer today. Regardless of race, age, gender, or social status, just as Joel said, men servants and maid servants, old men and young men, sons and daughters, the Holy Spirit is for all the followers of Jesus from the day of Pentecost to today and for as many as will believe in the future in the days ahead. And there are some denominations that say that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost was a one-time event for believers of that day as Jesus was starting his church, and that once the church was established, that outpouring ceased. But that doesn't really fit with what Scripture says, with what we read in Scripture, because if you read through the book of Acts, you will see that time and time again, the Holy Spirit came on new believers the same way that he came on the disciples at first. The New Testament was written for all believers, for us today, and we are encouraged throughout the Scriptures to pursue the Holy Spirit and to pursue the gifts of the Spirit, and nowhere in the Scriptures does it indicate that the outpouring ended or that the gifts of the Spirit ceased. In fact, the gifts of the Spirit are very much alive and well and at work and active in the church today, so we believe that the Holy Spirit is available to us today just as he was to the church on the day of Pentecost, the early church on the day of Pentecost. After Jesus was resurrected, we read that he appeared to his disciples a number of times. He was talking with them, and he was instructing them, and he was eating with them. And it was on one of these occasions, when he was gathered together with them, that he gave them the instructions to wait in Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Father. So let's read that in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So here we see that the disciples didn't understand what the promise of the Father was. They were still thinking about the restoration of Israel and freedom from their earthly oppressors. I'm sure Joel's prophecy didn't even enter their minds. But God had something much bigger and more far-reaching than just Israel in mind. bigger than anything the disciples in that moment could understand, because Jesus was about to pour out his Holy Spirit on all believers. Up until this time, the gospel had really only been given to the Jews. But now Jesus was preparing the disciples by sending them the Holy Spirit. He was going to empower them to go and testify about him to the ends of the earth, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. And the gospel was going to explode from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, and eventually even to us here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Jesus was building his worldwide church, starting on the day of Pentecost. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitudes came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." Pentecost, day one. These disciples, common men and women who probably spoke Aramaic and Hebrew and possibly Greek, were now speaking in the tongues of all these other nations, and they were speaking in language that they themselves didn't even understand. But the people hearing them understood. And what were they hearing? They were hearing the wonderful works of God. The first message that God had to deliver to people on the day of Pentecost was not one of judgment and condemnation. The first message that God delivered to the people through the power of the Holy Spirit were the wonderful works of God. Can you even imagine what the people were hearing that day in their own language as God was revealing to them what was on his heart toward them? He was talking about his love for them, about his son Jesus being sent to save them, about forgiveness of sin and salvation through Jesus. The wonderful works of God, everlasting life through his son, the message of hope, the same message that we have today. Now, the people were hearing the disciples, and they began to mock them and accuse them of being drunk. They thought they were out of their minds. There were all these people pouring out into the streets and babbling in all these different languages. First thing in the morning, they didn't understand what was going on. But then Peter stood up and he said, "We're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." And on that day, on Pentecost day one, Peter stood up and he delivered his first ever sermon under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Prior to Pentecost, there were 120 disciples of Jesus, 120 followers of Jesus, and on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were added to their numbers. And we can be sure that those 3,000 people took the message of the gospel home with them to their friends and their families and their neighbors. The power to take the gospel to the ends of the earth was given that day from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit as Jesus said they would be, and the church was born. My cousin and I went to Israel in 2018, and we stayed at this amazing hotel in the old city of Jerusalem. It was amazing, and that the hotel was called the Lutheran Guest House. And so I encourage you, if you ever get to go to Israel, stay in the old city of Jerusalem at the Lutheran Guest House. It was truly amazing. And make sure you ask for a room with air conditioning. They don't all have it. I had to make sure I got a room with air conditioning because it is hot there. It's very, very hot there. But there is a picture on the wall in the hallway of this hotel. It was a picture of the Jordan River from 1900. And the caption on the picture was, "Jordan River, the place of baptism." But the word baptism wasn't spelled the English way. The way they spelled it was like this: B-A-P-T-I-Z-A-M. Baptism. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is exactly what the disciples received the day that God poured the Holy Spirit out on them. Jesus said they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. He would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist said they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The baptism. And that baptism is still available to us today. I feel like a superhero when I baptism. The baptism is still available to us today. It's the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit that enables us to be his witnesses and to testify of him powerfully and effectively, because Jesus is still building his church today. There are multitudes that still need to hear the gospel today, that still need to come in. The fields are still white and ready for harvest. May the Lord lead us to those who are ready to hear the good news that there is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Amen. When we accept Jesus into our hearts as Lord and Savior, immediately the Holy Spirit moves in. We are filled with the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. But there is a second event that takes place that we can experience, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Just like what they received at Pentecost, we can receive today. It might not look the same, but the Spirit is the same. There might not be tongues of fire. There might not be a mighty rushing wind, but the Spirit is the same. I attended the water baptism of a friend of mine some years ago, and he went down under the water, and when he came up from the water, he raised his hands to heaven, and he began to speak in a new tongue. He had never spoken in a different tongue before, but that day, at the moment of his water baptism, the Holy Spirit was poured out upon him. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he began to speak in new tongues. It was probably the most powerful thing that I've ever seen within the church. The day of water baptism was also the day of his Holy Spirit baptism. It was truly amazing. The day that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was on a camping trip with my friends, with my youth group, and it was pouring rain outside, and there were about 20 of us crammed into a 10-man tent, and we were all praying together, and that day the Holy Spirit came down and baptized three of us, and we began to speak in tongues. No matter how he comes, he still gives us the same power today that he gave at Pentecost to preach the gospel, to perform signs and wonders in his name, and to be his witnesses. You know, if you read through the book of Acts, officially called the Acts of the Apostles, because now they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they could do acts in the name of the Lord, you will read from Acts chapter 2 through to the end of the book that the gospel never stops being preached. From then to today, the gospel is still being preached under the same power of the Holy Spirit. You know that everything Jesus did was through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he made that same Spirit available to us today. So a few weeks ago, we just heard from Alpha. So a few weeks ago, we had our Alpha Holy Spirit Saturday. And this is a day that is set apart on the Alpha course to learn all about the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does and who the Holy Spirit is. And I think sometimes that we can get confused about who the Holy Spirit is because he seems so elusive in the scriptures. I mean, he's a dove, he's fire, he's wind, he's a feeling. Actually, he's a person. He's the third person of the Holy Trinity. He's God. He's God the Holy Spirit, just like God the Father and God the Son. He's just as glorious, just as powerful. He is equal in every way. He's all-present, all-powerful, all-knowing, just like the Father and the Son. He is God the Holy Spirit. And here's something we learned at Alpha as well. Before we're saved, he is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. He is with us all. The day we get saved, he moves inside of us. He fills us. And when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, he is poured out upon us. So with, in, and upon. And I just want to take a minute this morning and briefly look at these three things. Now, before we're saved, the Holy Spirit is with us. He's constantly at work in people's lives, drawing people to Jesus and prompting them and revealing truth to them and nudging their hearts in the right direction. How many testimonies have we heard of people who say that now that they're Christians, they look back on their lives and they can see how God was speaking to them and convicting them and drawing them to himself? Well, that was the Holy Spirit at work in their lives. And I'm sure many of us can say the same thing, that when we look back on our lives prior to being Christians, we can see how God was drawing us to himself. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would testify of him. The Holy Spirit would convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And in the book of Acts, if we had kept on reading in Acts chapter 2, we would see that the people were cut to the heart when Peter preached to them because they were convicted of their sin and they learned that Jesus was their Savior. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, is to draw people to Jesus, not to condemn, but to convict. Conviction leads to life and to salvation. Condemnation leads to sin, to shame and to death. And God doesn't want anyone condemned to death. He wants everyone to experience life and repentance and salvation, the wonderful works of God. So the Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of people when we share the gospel with them, with family, friends, and strangers. The Holy Spirit is right there with us when he is making his appeal to them. We are speaking the words, but he is working on their hearts. So he is with us. The day we get saved, he moves inside of us. Ephesians 1:13 says this: "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." At the moment of salvation, he moves in and he makes his home with us, and he seals us for eternity with Jesus Christ. He is the guarantee of our eternal inheritance in Christ. He lives in every believer. When he comes in, he begins cleaning us up and making us more like Jesus. He gives us a desire for the Word of God and for prayer and for spending time in worship and fellowship with other believers, with the church. He gives us the power to turn away from sin, and he begins his transforming work in us. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." This is the evidence of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Jesus said that out of our hearts would flow rivers of living water. Our speech begins to change as our hearts begin to change, and our affect begins to change. We no longer walk around with a rain cloud over our heads like some of the cartoon characters you see sometimes, or with that gloomy affect that Eeyore has. I can still have an affect like that some days, but for the most part, we no longer live like that. That's not our character anymore. He begins taking the things out of our lives that no longer fit, and he begins filling us with the attributes and the characteristics of Jesus Christ. We are transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us, making us more like Jesus. I know I shared this last year when I spoke here, but I'm going to share it again. So last spring, in the spring of 2025, our Life Together group and I invited a number of different people to come and to share with us their testimonies. And so over the course of about 8 weeks, we heard from a number of different people who came, and they were asked to share four things. They were asked to share who they were before Christ, how they came to salvation in Jesus Christ, what they're doing for him now, and then to share a brief devotional with us. Over the course of that 8 weeks, we heard from people who were involved with drugs and alcohol and gangs and whose lives were just simply going in the wrong direction. But then they came to Jesus and their lives were transformed. Now they're involved in worship ministry and feeding the hungry and prison ministry and their counselors and their pastors. That's the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. So the Holy Spirit is with us before we get saved. He moves inside of us the moment we get saved, but then there's the moment that he comes upon us, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, he is poured out upon us, giving us new power to be his witnesses, giving us supernatural gifts and abilities to heal the sick, to prophesy in his name, to cast out demons, to preach the gospel effectively to see souls saved, to bring unity and edification to the church, and to glorify Jesus in it all. I recently heard the Holy Spirit referred to as sort of a power tool. He's the power who enables us to do what we do for the kingdom. Prior to Pentecost, Peter could not have stood up and preached a sermon that would see 3,000 people added to the church. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, he was given the ability. And the Holy Spirit continues to give us gifts and abilities to do things for God that we could never do on our own. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-11 says this: "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as he wills." All of these gifts that we read about in 1 Corinthians are for the edification and for the unity of the body. When the scripture says to one or to another, this doesn't mean that one person gets the gift of healing, so nobody else does. Some people operate in the supernatural gift and ministry of healing. But anybody who is in Christ can lay their hands on someone and see them healed, because the Spirit is the one who does the work, and he gives the gifts as he determines. Somebody might operate in the office of a prophet, but anybody in Christ can prophesy as the Spirit enables them. There is no partiality with him. We are all the same. We are all on level ground in Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit can work through you. In fact, Paul instructs the church to eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now, the best and greatest gift is love, and so all of these other gifts have to be used primarily through love. If we're not using these gifts through love, then we're going to miss the mark and nobody is going to be edified at all. So, of course, desire the gift of love, but eagerly desire all the gifts of the Holy Spirit for the building up and the edification of the body. As believers, we're actually supposed to use the gifts that we have. I know that's crazy. There's not a person here, if you are in Christ, there is not a person here who does not have spiritual gifts. And we're supposed to use our gifts because we're one body. And if we don't function properly, if there's a part missing, there's not one part that's more important than any other part. Sometimes we can see people on a platform and we think, wow, that person's on a platform. They must really be something. Well, no, they're no different than anyone else, whether you're on a platform or whether you're sitting in the back or whether you're teaching Sunday school, which is so important, or taking care of the children in the nursery. Every part is necessary, every part is needed, and every part is active and needed in building up the church. So use your gifts. They are given to you by the Holy Spirit for the good of the body. Recently, we've begun to see more and more healings taking place here at church as we lay hands on people and see them healed. We had someone healed the first night of Alpha. The first night of Alpha, he was miraculously healed as we prayed for him. We had someone healed at home when his daughter laid her hands on him and prayed for him. We had somebody healed at her friend's house when she went and stopped by for a visit. I'm hearing more and more testimonies from people here in this church about the way God has touched and healed them. We just heard that this morning from a couple ladies who attended Alpha. God is at work, and he's moving and touching people. Pastor Kathleen was recently saying, I'm going to out you a little bit here. Pastor Kathleen, there you go, turn around. Turn around's fair play. Pastor Kathleen was saying recently, that can you imagine how it would affect the community around us if we started seeing miraculous healings week after week taking place here at church? If word got out that God was healing people here in this church, can you imagine the impact it would have on the community around us? People would be lined up out the door to come and to hear about Jesus and to receive from him. The gifts of the Spirit are evidence of God to believers, so use your gifts. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you gifts. Ask him what your gifts are and eagerly desire them. You know, we're hearing from people like Rebecca, and Olu and Esther and Mark and John and Tara and others who are going out and preaching the gospel in the city, and they're seeing salvation. They're seeing people getting saved here in our city. There are people in our church here who share prophetic words with one another, and people are being encouraged as they're receiving these words. You know, the Bible tells us to stir up the gifts of God. Stir them up. This is Pentecost Sunday. Be stirred up and begin to actively seek the gifts of God, gifts of the Spirit, and operate in them. The Holy Spirit is available to each believer today, just as much as he was in the early days, the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Today, following this service, when we ask people to come forward, when we invite people to come forward for prayer, we're going to invite you to come and to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you haven't already. And if you have, you can come and be prayed for and receive a filling again, being filled again. The Bible tells us to keep on being filled. You can receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You can actively move in the gifts of the Spirit, and you can speak in other tongues. I know that tongues can be confusing because it goes against our natural mind, but it's the Holy Spirit who does it. It's one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit. It's nothing to be feared. It's a way to express praise and worship to God when you run out of words. It's a way to communicate to God what's on your heart when you don't know what to say. It's a way to pray for his will to be done when you don't know what his will is. And it really is a beautiful gift that's available to us for our time while we're here on earth to connect with God in a unique and special way. God wants to give this gift to everyone. He longs, he desires to give it to you. So come and receive the gift of the Spirit today. Come and be prayed for, and the Holy Spirit will be given to you too. Jesus said this in one of his sermons in Luke chapter 11, verse 18. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Holy Spirit is a gift that the Father longs to give you. So may the Holy Spirit come and fill us again with boldness, with power from on high to accomplish the work that he has set for us to do here today in our generation, to see his church advanced and to glorify his name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.